separate recent shootings of people who wound up at the wrong address have reignited concerns about the expanded self-defense laws known as Stand Your Ground. First, there was Ralph Yarl, the 16-year-old in Kansas City, who was shot and wounded Thursday after he rang the wrong doorbell of the wrong house to pick up his younger siblings. Then on Saturday night, 20-year-old Kaylin Gillis was killed in upstate New York when a homeowner opened fire on a car of friends who had turned into the wrong driveway. NPR's Becky Sullivan is here with us now to talk about Stand Your Ground laws. Hi, Becky.
Hey, Elsa.
Okay, so tell us more about what Stand Your Ground specifically is.
Yeah, you know, so it's a change to the traditional idea of self-defense law. So normally, traditionally, self-defense says it's not a crime to use deadly force when you had no other option. Like, there was an imminent danger of threat to you or somebody else, and there was no way to retreat or de-escalate the situation. There has long been a traditional exception to that called the Castle Doctrine, which says that you don't have to retreat if you're in your own home. But starting in the mid-2000s, some Republican-led gun-friendly legislatures began to expand that idea of no duty to retreat to anywhere in public. So gun rights advocates, you know, basically they argued that if you're in imminent danger, if you're in the middle of a physical altercation, that it's unreasonable or even dangerous to force somebody to pause and sort through all the legal questions in their head before they engage in self-defense. So what Stand Your Ground does is basically, as long as you're lawfully present wherever you are, you no longer have a duty to retreat. So long as you're in danger of physical harm or you feel like you are, even if you could safely walk away in those states, you still have the right to stand your ground.
Okay, and how widespread are these kinds of stand your ground laws right now?
So yeah, at least 28 states have stand your ground type statutes now, mostly red states, a few swing states. And enough time has passed since they were passed that we now have a lot more research about what happens in states that have those laws. And, you know, long story short, firearm homicide rates go up. That's what a study in the medical journal JAMA Network Open found last year, you know, essentially that nationwide that these policies have led to a, quote, abrupt and sustained increase in national monthly homicide and firearm rates, equivalent to essentially 60 to 70 extra homicides every month nationwide. Legal experts told me that these laws have just caused a lot of confusion with prosecutors, with police, definitely with the public. Here's Peter Joy, who's a law professor at Washington University in St. Louis.
I think it's just has clouded up everything and has led to the misconception that if somebody rings your doorbell, maybe juggles the handle to your door, that you are permitted to go ahead and harm them physically.
Okay, so Becky, do you think Stand Your Ground will come up in either of the cases we're talking about today?
You know, it's hard to know for sure right now. It might not, actually, you know, especially in New York. There's no stand your ground provision in New York. So, you know, there individuals do have a duty to retreat before they can use deadly force. The shooter there, 65-year-old Kevin Monahan, he's been charged with murder. Authorities have said that there was no reason for him to feel threatened. Now, in Missouri, where Ralph Yarl was shot, that state does have a stand your ground clause. The shooter there told police that he saw Yarl pulling on the door handle, said he believed the teenager was trying to break into his house. He said he was scared to death. He really believed he was protecting himself. But it's important to remember that stand your ground is still part of self-defense. You have to reasonably believe you're defending yourself from physical harm. Whether that's a reasonable belief, it's going to be for a jury to decide.
That is NPR's Becky Sullivan. Thank you, Becky.
You're welcome.